Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and talk about the upcoming schedule. Now, here's David Allen, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Bronco Monday on a Tuesday. David and Chris in studio. Bob Beeler at the airport getting ready to hitch your flight to Nevada for tomorrow night's game. But first, we have to discuss the huge 91-87 win over Wyoming Saturday at Taco Bell Arena. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. It was an offensive game all the way around. Broncos shot 50%. Cowboys shot 42%. Both teams made a lot of threes, and Boise State outlasted them, made it a little, maybe a little closer than they would have liked in the last minute and a half, but still a solid win. And when you need wins at home, this was one that needed to go in the win column. And you expected Wyoming to shoot it a little better than they did in the last matchup when they were held to 3-for-21 from three.
54 points in the second half for Boise State. That's more than some teams score in a whole game. I was pretty impressed Saturday when I saw that.
Well, they were down 4 at the half, and at the half they had 11 lead changes and 5 ties. And I don't know what was said in the locker room at halftime, but Boise State scored 21 of the first 25 points to really gain control. I mean, the shooting was there. They looked more focused. They made things a little more difficult for Wyoming. And again, you know, they gave Wyoming 46 points in the second half, but a lot of that was because Wyoming had a lot of possessions. But as you mentioned, it ripping up and down the floor, getting 54 points. I mean, they shot 52% from the floor in the second half, 50% from three-point range. Paris Austin and Chandler Hutchison combined for 52 of those 91 points.
We've been talking about this for a few weeks, Bob, and we kind of figure there will be one team from the Mountain West that'll be in the round of 68 in the NCAA tournament. What are Boise State's chances of making the NIT, assuming they don't make the NCAA?
Well, I think, first of all, if you can get the number one seed, you're guaranteed a spot if you don't win your conference tournament of being in the NIT. But it only goes to the team that gets the number one seed. Right now, there's a three-way tie for first place, Colorado State, Nevada, Boise State. Now, a lot of these teams are playing each other. Boise State has to play Nevada. They're through with Colorado State, have the tiebreaker over them, so that's good news. Colorado State and Nevada still have to play in addition to Nevada playing Boise State as well. I think they're a bubble team for the NIT. I think it's possible to get in as an at-large, but a lot of that is predicated on how many other teams actually, you know, don't win their conference and are guaranteed spots. So some years it could be as few as 5 or 6 teams that get automatic NIT bids, and some years it could be as many as, you know, 14 or 15 teams that might get spots in the NIT guaranteed.
Before we take a break, Bob, I want to talk about Paris Austin for a second because he was a starter to begin the season. Then Coach Rice saw something in him that thought, and again, he comes off the bench really early, so it's not like he's not even really a starter. He comes in 4 minutes usually. But since then, since he's come off the bench, he's averaged like 17 points a game. The maturation of this young man is incredible.
Well, and then the thing that I just love is he gives Boise State a different dimension. I mean, he's got a lot of guards like, you know, Reed that shoot the ball from outside, Jessica, a perimeter player, shoots the ball from outside. But this guy takes the ball into the paint and finishes with authority at the rim. Just gives you a different dimension. I mean, his line from Saturday, 27 points, 6 rebounds, which is very good for a guard. Now about 6 assists to 2 turnovers, and playing at a pace of the game that, you know, gets you 90 points. That's a lot of passes. That's a lot of up and down the floor. And you're right, David. I think that, you know, when you look at a guy that probably has exceeded expectations this year, and one of the reasons why Boise State is tied for first is you got to think it's Paris Austin.
All right, Bob, we'll hear from Coach Rice next. This is Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
Now, back to Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. David and Chris here in studio. Bob on the phone with us. After the big win on Saturday over Wyoming, you talked to Coach Rice, and he was in a pretty good mood.
He was in a pretty good mood, David, and I asked him about that 21-4 run that started the second half. What was the key and what was the difference?
Yeah, I thought we came out great second half. We guarded really good. I mean, we didn't guard the three-point line good enough in the first half, and that was the difference. And, you know, that's what we told the guys at halftime. We said, hey, we're going to adjust. We're going to, you know, we weathered the storm of them making 7 threes. 21 of their points were from three-point line, and we knew that if we did a better job of that, then we'd have a chance to win the game.
2 out of 9 from 3 for you in the first half, 6 of 12, 50% in the second half. were there better looks, or was it just that shots were going in?
Yeah, both. I mean, we moved the ball pretty good, and we got good looks, and we made extra passes. And, yeah, I thought we were clicking pretty good offensively. We were really efficient in the second half, and, you know, while we scored 54 points, could have been a little bit more if we make some free throws. And but, hey, we did enough to win, and doesn't mean we're where we want to be. I mean, as far as getting better, we have to get better. We have to clean that end-of-the-game stuff up a little bit.
Paris Austin goes for a career high today, 27 points. He is a handful to guard for the other team.
Well, he gets going downhill, and it's pretty impressive. And, you know, he gets the free throw line. He's making his free throws now, and, you know, he's doing a good job of – you know, he gets six assists, too, 27 points and six assists. And, you know, some of those assists are the threes. And so, you know, they should have a new system. You get an assist and a half when you get a three assist, because those are big, big plays when he drives and kicks it out and we get a three.
And he's so good at finishing in the lane. There's times that he's just surrounded by guys who are 6'6", 6'10", and the ball just sits up there on the rim and goes in.
Yeah, he really attacked it pretty good today. And, you know, got a couple blocked, but when he's taking it that hard, he's going to get a couple of them blocked. But that was impressive, 27 points, six assists.
How about Chandler Hutchison, 25 more today for him?
Yeah, that was a really good job of Chandler. And, you know, he got a little tired out there. I think I had him out there a long time. I'm trying to get these guys some, you know, I get them some short rests around the media timeouts, and so it can go a little bit longer. But overall, you know, really pleased with the effort. We played with some young lineups out there today. We had Paris and Alex and, you know, all freshmen and sophomores out there one time, and that, you know, that's always a little bit scary.
All right, let's look to Wednesday night. Nevada, a team we saw about a month ago, we have to go to their place. Nevada could find themselves in what would be a three-way tie if they win their game tonight with us and with Colorado State. Getting down to the scant few games, four games, what do you remember most about taking on Nevada, and what would be the biggest challenge?
Yeah, they're a terrifically talented ball club, and they can make contested shots, they can make tough shots, and you saw that here when we played them. They, you know, we guarded them pretty good at sometimes, and they'd make them over us. And then, you know, they're really, really athletic. They shared the ball really well here when we played them, and they, you know, they kind of handed us our hats. And so we're gonna have to play a near perfect game against them on Wednesday.
Bob, looking at the big picture in the season and tied for first place, even though it's a three-way tie, but this is a team that was picked to finish fifth in the preseason. How great a coaching job is it by Coach Rice this year?
I think a tremendous job. I mean, he's gotten a lot out of a lot of people without a lot of experience coming into this season, and the guy that had the most experience has really struggled down the stretch with his shot, and that's Nick Duncan. I don't think anybody expected Chandler Hutchison to play at an all-conference and maybe even player of the year caliber. Again, another 20-plus game for him. And he's been the, you know, team's leading rebounder all season, the emergence of Paris Austin. And then he's gotten a lot of things out of a lot of different people, you know, getting James Reed to shoot the ball, again, handling the ball with some guys off the bench like Marcus Dickinson, and then you've got David Wacker, who's really emerged as a lead center. Justinian Jessup is a freshman that started all season. I mean, you know, I thought getting picked fifth at the beginning of the year, David, was about right, but they've certainly exceeded it. Colorado State, another team that's exceeded expectations. San Diego, New Mexico, Nevada were the three teams picked to get the top of the standings. So Nevada right there has shown it.
Bob, you mentioned player of the year. What kind of chances, or what kind of chance does Chandler Hutchison have of being voted player of the year?
I think it depends on who wins the league. I think if Boise State wins the league, it will be Chandler. I think if Colorado State wins the league, it's going to be Keon Clavel. And I think if Nevada wins the league, it's going to be Marcus Marshall. So I think a lot's going to go down based on who, you know, who actually wins out of these last four games. There's still a lot to be decided. They always say that the victor go to the spoils, and I think the winner of the league is probably going to be the guy with the player of the year.
Bob, I know you got to catch a plane, my friend. Thanks for your time this morning. Travel safe, and we'll listen tomorrow night. 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock Wednesday night. It's not Monday, everybody. It's Wednesday night tomorrow as Boise State goes to Nevada. Huge game here with just four games left in the regular season.
Yeah, the winner will be in first place, and Colorado State tonight plays New Mexico, so it's possible at the pit that the Rams could lose.
No.
And could be the winner in first place all by themselves.
It's not possible, Bob. Let's not fool ourselves. They're terrible. All right, travel safe, my friend. We'll talk to you tomorrow
Thank
night.
Thank you.
All right, Bob Beeler getting ready to get on a plane, and he's fooling everybody if you think New Mexico is going to beat Colorado State tonight. 8:51, Chris and I will be back. It's Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
Back to Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
David and Chris wrapping up Bronco Monday. Chris, I wanted to expand a little bit on that Coach Rice coaching year that he's had. This is right. a team that in the beginning of January lost 3 out of 4. They lost at Fresno State, to New Mexico, came back and won at San Jose State, then lost to Nevada. So they were struggling. Now they've won 5 out of 6, and it's in crunch time, you know, as the season gets long and you're thinking, oh, do we have to play again? I mean, a lot of these kids are younger and are hitting walls that they never thought they'd ever play this many games before in their life at such a high level. And for Coach Rice to squeeze every ounce of energy out of these kids is really amazing.
Yeah, I think he's done he's done a terrific job. You know, as you said, a team that was picked fifth. I mean, San Diego State is sitting in fifth, and they were supposed to be, you know, first or second.
Yep.
And Boise State basically in a three-way tie for first with Nevada and Colorado State. They're all 10-4. And I like the fact that at the beginning of the season, Bob said whoever wins this league is going to have 4 league losses mm-hmm. or conference losses. And he's absolutely right because they all do.
Yeah. And he's getting it from getting big contributions from everybody.
Right.
Like this Saturday, Paris Austin, David Wacker. The game before that, Chandler Hutchinson, Justinian Jessup.
Mm-hmm.
Paris Austin, Chandler Hutchinson, and James Reed, David Wacker. And the lead guy, their senior, has struggled.
Yeah.
You know, he can't seem to hit a 3 for his life if he needed to.
Yeah, and then you've got 3 guys scoring in double figures, Hutchinson, Paris Austin, and James Reed. And, Hutchinson has really had a great season. And I think Bob was absolutely right. If the Broncos end up winning if they end up winning the season, there's a good chance Chandler Hutchinson will be the player of the year, or the player of the year could come from Nevada or Colorado State, just as easy.
And every single game, I think to myself, Nick Duncan's going to break out this game. He can't score 0 points again.
Yeah.
And darn it, he just can't seem to find his mojo shooting the ball, especially threes. And I think sometimes when I'm watching it and you see how well these guys are playing, and I think, boy, if James Webb III was still here, how good would this team be? But then there's a part of you that thinks maybe Hutchinson and Webb wouldn't be able to play together because they play kind of a similar game, so it would be kind of a weird thing. But James Webb was so good on the defensive end of things, whereas Chandler's so good on the offensive end that they might complement each other and be pretty prolific.
And Nick Duncan this year, he's shooting about 31% from the three-point line. Not the worst, obviously.
No.
You could be, but I think they were expecting a little bit more. The best three-point shooter is probably Hutchinson at this point.
I think so, too. I think they were looking for probably 36, 38% from Nick.
Yeah.
And when you're down to 31%, that's a big drop-off because you're not taking a whole bunch of threes. You know, so to have that, you know, a smaller grouping of numbers. So
it should be
an interesting end of the season, and it all starts, the last 4 games start tomorrow night, 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock tip off. Bob and Abe will have it all for you. They are at Nevada, a huge game that you have to think the team, I don't know that they need it, but I think after getting drilled at home by Nevada, you kind of want to show that's not who we were and that's not who we are and we're better than that now. And into a hole.
You definitely want to go into the conference tournament on a high note.
Yeah.
And you know, the number one seed wouldn't be bad either.
That would be good. Key to the game will be defense. I know a lot of people like to see the basket go through the hoop, but you win games on defense, so hopefully they can do that tomorrow night. Chris and I will be back. National news coming up, then local with Rick Worthington. Then Chris and I will take your calls on the topics of the day on 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Good morning, David Allen in for Paul J. Schneider. He will be back tomorrow. Todd Thwundy, manning the controls. Chris Walton, sitting to my left.
Hello.
How are you?
Not bad.
All right. Over the weekend, which was 3 lovely days, some things took traction because there's not a whole lot of news sometimes going on.
Yeah.
And so the most ridiculous thing takes traction.
In a way, yeah.
In a speech Saturday night, Donald Trump mentioned violence in Sweden.
Yeah.
People on the Twitter sphere went berserk.
Some did, yeah.
Saying, in fact, the former Swedish prime minister went berserk.
Okay.
What's he been drinking?
Now, I want to clarify, and I know he kind of misspoke, and the way he said it, it made you think that there was a terrorist attack the previous night in Sweden. But that's not what he meant. What he had been doing the previous night, he had watched TV, and he's an avid TV watcher.
Yes.
Likes to, keep track of what CNN and Fox and everybody else is saying about him. And he was watching Fox News, and there was a report on Fox News that talked about problems they were having in Sweden with the refugees that they have situated there in Sweden.
Yes.
That there was some crime and there were, all sorts of things were going on. And it was just a report about, in general, what was going on. And then he saw it, and I think he kind of misinterpreted it, that report, as saying that all this stuff just happened, just now.
Yeah.
Okay. And it wasn't really that. But it was a report saying that they were having problems in Sweden with a lot of the refugees, and that nobody else was reporting on this, which is why Fox said they wanted to cover it. And so he happened to mention it the next day, but he mentioned it as if he was saying, wow, can you believe what happened last night in Sweden?
Mm-hmm.
And what he should have said was, can you believe the report that was on Fox News last night about Sweden? And that would have made a lot more sense.
Well,
and then he did say, it was based on a Fox News report, but it wasn't about a particular event.
No.
He was trying to explain that there are reasons why you vet people. There are reasons why the process takes so long. It just didn't come out, because he tends to talk off the cuff.
Sometimes. And that's what a lot of people love about him, and that's why they voted for him.
And when you do speak that way occasionally, things can get a little scrambled.
Just a few days after President Trump's remarks on Saturday night about what had happened last night in Sweden, as you were saying, unrest erupted in the Stockholm suburb, home to a large immigrant population. Rioters set cars on fire.
So he's like Nostradamus.
Yes, exactly. Threw rocks at police in Stockholm's Rinkeby district Monday night after one person was arrested, local police said. Police fired guns, but without hitting anyone. So the Swedish police are terrible at shooting at anybody.
Well, I don't think they actually were aiming at them. Oh, they're okay. Probably trying to scare them off.
During his speech Saturday night in Florida, he also referenced Paris, Nice, and Brussels, three European cities that have seen terror attacks in recent years.
That's true.
So it caused some bewilderment when he added, just look at what's happening last night in Sweden. Sweden, who would believe this?
And I kind of knew what he meant. And then the next day, everybody was making a huge deal out of it. And I thought, well, okay, so he didn't say it right necessarily. But what he meant is that there are problems in most every country where they have had some refugees. Now, are they worse problems than any group would have had coming in? I don't know. And you can't really measure that.
And I'm going to tie this all together after the break. But first, I want to take Scotty in Middleton. Scotty, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Anyway, listen about Sweden. They've got 15 no-go areas in Sweden. And also that you've got to watch what you're saying. Because if you tell the truth, you go to prison. you've got to fake everything up. They're having these riots because they're saying that they're covering up what they call humanitarianism. It's been going on, sir. It's been going on now for, about 9 months. And Donald Trump was telling the truth what was going on. But anyway, hey, listen, I'll get off here and let someone else get on.
All right, Scotty. Thanks for checking in. We appreciate it, brother. Have a good day.
Thank you. You take care and have a good day.
All right, you too. All right. After the break, Homeland Security has just unveiled a sweeping plan for new aggressive policies against undocumented immigrants. We'll get into that. It's 9:12. Chris and I will be back on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
9:17. Welcome back to the show. David Allen, Chris Walton. Today's rewards code, Sweden. S-W-E-D-E-N, Sweden. Go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword Sweden, get your 5,000 rewards points.
As in, put some sugar in your coffee if you want to sweeten it.
And there's a very good possibility that a former Swedish prime minister will tweet you.
Yeah, he might ask you what you're smoking.
Sure. The Department of Homeland Security issued a sweeping set of orders this morning that implement President Trump's plan to increase immigration enforcement, placing the vast majority of the nation's 11 million, they say undocumented, I'm going to say illegal, 11 million illegal immigrants at risk of deportation.
Now, they are creating jobs, I might mention, though, because ICE is going to hire 10,000 new officers.
Exactly. The memos instruct all agents, including Customs and Border Protection and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, to identify, capture, and quickly deport every illegal immigrant they encounter.
Yeah. And there's a possibility that some of the people that are in the country illegally but have come forward and have applied for various reasons to stay here, those people could be sent out of the country while they're awaiting this process. And my guess is none of them want to leave.
Yes. The memos require undocumented immigrants caught entering the country to be placed in detention units.
Right.
In detention until their cases are resolved. Increase the ability of local police to help in immigration enforcement. Call for the hiring, as you said, of 10,000 more agents and allow planning to begin on an expansion of the border wall between the United States and Mexico.
Yeah. Now, there's somebody. It's one of the newscasters. I think it's on CNN. Every time they mention the wall, he'll say which will actually be a fence. You know, because people who have flown over the area can see how mountainous a lot of it is.
Yes,
and so they think, okay, well, maybe we can put up a fence here, but a wall would be extremely expensive and take forever.
Yeah, the memos also make illegal immigrants who have been convicted of a crime the highest priority for enforcement operations,
right?
Which I'm really good with.
Okay. There was a story this weekend, and I got to admit, I mean, I felt a little sorry for the woman just because of the situation she's in. But as far as the rules go, she had broken enough of them to where she's being deported, and she's got some kids that are U.S. citizens. They were born in the United States. She is not a U.S. citizen. Apparently, the anchor babies didn't allow her to become one. Regardless, and the problem she's facing is deportation, because for a while she had a fake Social Security card, and well, that's
illegal.
Is that a felony or a misdemeanor? Either way, it's on the record, and so she's probably going to get deported because of that. But the first mistake, of course, coming into the country illegally, whether it was from desperation or whatever reason, it was done illegally, and then that just compounded from there. It's like telling a lie; you have to back up the lie.
Yeah, and I guess I don't understand when you see, we've been in this country illegally for 18 years or whatever.
Yeah,
like it only takes, I think, 7 years to become a citizen, right?
Well, something of that nature.
Couldn't you have somewhere in those 18 years?
You can apply. However, if they're afraid to go forward because they assume they're going to be, or they're afraid to come forward because they assume they're going to be deported, I can understand why you wouldn't.
Except unless
if you don't want to be noticed, don't call attention to yourself.
Except in this woman's case, where now she either at A has to take her kids back to her home country where they know nothing about
this is true,
or B, leave her kids here. So don't be so selfish. Think of others here and get your act together. The memos, blah 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 blah. Well, but they make clear that ICE agents, these also memos make clear that ICE agents should also arrest and initiate deportation proceedings against any other illegal immigrants they encounter.
Now, ICE, people say, why are ICE the only ones that are enforcing? Well, the E in ICE means enforcement. It's Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Yes.
So these are people who have come into the country illegally or brought something into the country illegally. And these are the officers whose job it is to find them.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on the Verizon Wireless. It seems to me that this is different than the quote unquote ban that Trump put out. This basically is just telling everybody, do your job.
Well, because we do have laws.
Yes.
And that's what a lot of people have said. And this happens every once in a while. Congress does it. State legislatures do it, where they will pass a law, a new bill. They will pass a law that tells you that you're supposed to be enforcing a previous law.
Yes.
Which you already were.
Yes. Except that in this case,
but I mean, that would like
they
if,
weren't.
That would be like if we passed a law that said, well, we know murder is illegal, but we want to make it really, really, really illegal. Well, what's the difference?
Well, and it's like you and I've talked about when with the texting and driving law, when that passed, it made me amazingly angry because there's already a distracted driving law,
yeah,
which would be when you're texting and driving, you're distracted. So just enforce the laws that are there. Don't you don't need to make new laws. You
exactly.
really don't. And so basically these memos are instructing the Border Patrol folks and ICE to just start enforcing the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything wrong with that?
Well, no, it's that's kind of what we're supposed to be doing anyway. And people say, well, are you without compassion? No, we're not without compassion.
No.
However, there are billions, in fact, there are billions of people in the world who deserve a great deal of empathy, sympathy, compassion, and we can't necessarily solve all their problems.
Exactly. Gary, on Highway 44, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. Yeah, you know, I've had a lot of thoughts about this immigration thing. I've got a lot of Spanish friends, connections, and you know, a lot of those people have paid out thousands and thousands of dollars to work through the legal system to become citizens and so on and so forth with no results. And I guess the first question that comes to my mind is, where the heck does all that money go? You know, is it just lawyers sacking it away?
So they're not on the books and in the process of becoming citizens, even though they've paid?
You know, I'm not really clear on that because
okay.
they just, I mean, I know guys that have been on, you know, in this process for 10, 12 years, and they're driving around without driver's licenses, yet they're working jobs, you know, they're
right.
good people, they're hardworking.
Yeah, and that's never been, as far as I'm concerned, that's never been in question. I mean, obviously, people who come to the United States essentially so they can get a job are hardworking people.
Right. Well, that's absolutely true, and with that, of course, you're going to get riffraff. There's riffraff in all segments of society.
And of course, yeah, there are plenty of that already lived here anyway.
Absolutely. And then the other thing I've been seeing on the news the last few days is, you know, if we deport these people, there won't be any workers. Well, golly gee, are we going to have to take people off welfare and food stamps and everything and make them go to work and earn their way?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a thought.
We're not going to have to, but it might be fun for a while.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, 46 million people getting food stamps today or some such thing, and, you know, and people on welfare, get off your butt and go get a job. They were talking about picking tomatoes, and they said they only make $150 a day. Well, crud, my best job ever did make $150 a day.
And I'm going on the internet here, Gary,
well,
and I'm finding
plus,
a potato picking, a tomato
plus,
picking job real
plus,
quick.
Plus, as you point out,
thanks for the call.
If you do not have a job, that's a better job than you have.
Yeah. I don't, and like you say, nobody's ever, unless they're murderers or rapists or whatever, nobody's ever said the people come here aren't hardworking.
Mm-hmm.
I would be terrified
to
live my whole life waiting for cops to catch me because I don't have a driver's license or I'm here illegally. I couldn't live with that.
A few years ago when this started to become a huge issue, people were saying, well, you know, they come into this country, but they pay taxes and they work and they do all these wonderful things. And the example we came up with, we said, what if somebody broke into your house and cleaned it and then they were sitting there when you got home? Would you still be happy to see them?
No.
Okay.
9:26. We'll talk to Mark after news at the bottom of the hour on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
Michael Savage at 1 o'clock, Rush Limbaugh at 10 o'clock, Nate Shellman at 3 o'clock. That's your Tuesday listening here on 670 KBOI. Done deal. David Allen, Chris
probably,
Walton here
probably
with
happen
you.
On Wednesday, too.
I don't know about all that.
Well, you know, it could.
It should happen on Wednesday, but I don't know for sure.
You got some instant messages here. Jeremy Amarsing says, morning, I've got no problem if you want to come here and be an American, but if you're going to expect special treatment because you think we owe you something or our flag offends you or you don't teach your kids English or you want to change our laws, then in that case, maybe you should stay where you are, just my opinion. You know, okay, I have different feelings about that. I don't think anybody likes the idea of some group of people coming from somewhere else and changing everything. However, once you become an American citizen or once you are, you know, have a green card and you are here, I mean, you've got basically most of the same rights that American citizens do. And so, you know, it being a free country, you can probably do all those things, no matter, you know, if you want to. If you don't want to wear the same clothes we do, you don't have to. If you don't want to, you know, go to the same church, all that stuff, you don't have to do it according to the Constitution.
That's very true.
And one more here, David of Boise, not you, somebody else says, I am sick of people tying the bad illegal immigrants in with the good and legal ones. No one is saying immigrants are not welcome. President Donald Trump is saying the bad ones are not welcome. The ones that are coming and the ones that are already here, that's all he ever said and still is. The problem is, from an aesthetic standpoint, let's say the way it looks to the entire rest of the world, is that it was kind of an arbitrary, just, yes, you know, blocking of people coming into the country. I mean, it wasn't exactly that. It just felt that way.
Yeah. Mark in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. Thank you, sir.
Good. Hey, my question is okay, they broke the law. We know they broke the law coming here.
Yeah.
So, like any other law, why can't we fine them, give them a $10,000 fine for every adult, $5,000 for every child, and have them pay a fine, then they can go down to DMV, get something on their card that says, hey, they paid this fine, they're good until they can get their paperwork, and just leave it at that. They don't get any...
Probably because of the tiny little chances of actually collecting anything from that. Probably why we don't do it.
Okay, but you can take it further, because you got all these Democrats and bleeding heart liberals out there that want them to stay here.
Uh-huh.
So you can do an adoptive program to pay for them to stay. If you want them to really stay here,
okay,
so fork up the money.
So rather than taxpayers and in general the government paying for people, you would have to be sponsored by somebody to come to this country. Now in Canada, that's what they're doing right now, and I imagine if we did it here, we would take in a lot fewer people.
The thing is they say, well, they wouldn't be able to afford it. You can't get the money from them.
Yeah.
Well, if I owe the IRS money, they'll come take my car, my house, my paycheck, and put me in jail until they get their money. So why can't they do the same if they owe a fine and have them pay the fine? They know they're here. They know they're working. They
right.
know there's 11 million of them, so you know they're keeping track.
Yeah.
So if they want to collect on these fines, they can. And then the money that they collect could go towards the wall.
Okay. I think that Congress, if they wanted to, could change the law to say something like that, but I wouldn't hold my breath.
Well, they could do it if they really wanted to.
Sure.
I think they could do it.
All right, Mark, thanks for calling in today. We appreciate it. Have a great day. It seems simple enough.
No, actually, to me, the whole thing seems extremely complicated, and
really?
Too many people are describing it simply.
Maybe I'm,
you know,
I might not be smart enough.
If there are 11 million people who are in this country illegally, there are 11 million different reasons why they're here.
I don't know that each one has a different reason. I might give, if there's 11 million people, there might be 5
okay.
million different reasons.
Well, that's still a lot, isn't it?
I know, but I'm still only given half.
Okay.
So, Rich in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Fine. Hey, well, the reason why they made such a big deal about what Trump said in that speech was because he routinely lies when he gives speeches. And so everybody just thought this was just another one of those things.
But see, if they had done their homework, they would have seen it wasn't that. But instead, everybody knee-jerks and says, because he routinely lies, we're just going to continue thinking he lies.
Well, yeah, but I mean, last week he was lying about his electoral victory, and he's been doing, you know, it's just constant, though. And on this immigration thing, I think this is just a dog and pony show. I think if you look by the end of 4 years, you will probably really hardly even see much of an increase in the amount of people that are being deported.
Yeah.
Because there is so many businesses in this country that rely on that labor. If they wanted to go out and bus people, they could go out to these dairies right now, and they could fill up all the jail cells we have. Of course, there'd be nobody to milk those cows, but they could do it. I think this is just, they've done this. It's kind of the same thing that's happened that before they've, oh, we're going to enforce this, and then they make a few arrests, make a little bit of news, and then it just goes away.
All right, Rich, thanks for checking in. We appreciate it. Two things about that.
Yeah.
A, I would love a dog and pony show because I love dogs and I love ponies, and I think it would be fun to see.
Well, I like dogs.
I like ponies.
Okay.
Horses intimidate me, but a little pony would be cute. Second,
yep.
The reason you
but,
might not
but,
see any difference.
But for what?
Just to do a show.
Okay.
They don't have to do anything. It doesn't have to. They don't have to juggle anything.
That's okay.
I like going to the fair and petting the ponies.
Okay.
And for what he said about not being able to tell any difference at the end of 4 years, the reason for that is if they do the same amount of deportations that Trump did in his last year and a half, it'll be a lot of people still deported.
You mean Obama did?
Obama. Obama. Yeah. If you do the last few that, because. Yeah. He was deporting people in the last 15 months.
A lot of people get those two mixed up.
They seem the same to me. They're both men with
You're the only one who gets those two mixed up.
And they were presidents. So, look at all the things they have in common.
They have the same number of arms and legs.
Exactly.
What's the problem here?
That's how come I tell everybody I look like Brad Pitt.
Two each and two each.
944. We'll be back with more of your calls. In fact, John, Randy, and Dave, don't go anywhere. We're going to get you next on 670 KBOI. Be careful out there, folks. Chris and I were watching the news this morning, and they had film from Weezer.
Oh, yeah.
The water is so high on that bridge.
Over on the Weezer River.
Holy smokes. It was scary.
David of Boise says, you have to start somewhere. He wrote before, and, you know.
Yeah. It's not me still.
Okay, hang on one more here.
Start again.
I've got it. Bill of Boise says, I think they should build a massive prison right along with the wall. In fact, you could catch, prosecute, and release the illegal immigrants right back into Mexico, all under the same roof. You use the prisoners to continue building the wall in prison, so you will never be short of hard labor workers, which would also save tons of money. I feel like that probably wouldn't end up working correctly, but, all ideas are interesting.
Yeah, anything is possible, I guess. John in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good. Yeah, I heard a lady on the news earlier this morning mention she had adopted a child,
yeah,
from a foreign country.
Yeah, from one of the countries in Africa.
Yes.
Right. You heard that.
Yeah, I did.
She paid for it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's still, and nobody done their job.
Yeah.
So, of course, Trump will probably get blamed for it. But the thing gets me is how many Republicans voted for the health care bill? Zero.
Yeah.
What was one of the biggest things Obama ran on? Fix immigration.
True.
He did not need one Republican vote.
And I think famously, if you've been on the internet, you know, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, or whatever, people have posted so many little clips of different presidents over the years talking about fixing immigration. And for the most part, in about the last 40 years, they've talked about it a lot.
A lot they've talked
about.
It's
a good theme to run on.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yet people don't punish them for it. That's probably my point. Obama, this has been going on for years, as you stated, but Obama said he was going to correct it and didn't even touch it. And yet you'll have Democrats call in and talk about Trump enforcing the law. And that's really what bothers people. But anyway, have a good one.
All right, John. Thanks so much for checking in. We appreciate you calling this morning. Randy in the Magic Valley, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Fine. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
It doesn't take like 2 seconds to identify callers who are stuck in their strict ideology of either liberalism or conservatism. For them to it's possible to get a few details or facts wrong without being labeled in a pathological liar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
believe me, we're both well aware of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes it's amazing what we, you know, like they say, we don't know what we don't know.
Exactly.
You know, and whether or not he won, 320 electoral votes or 290. I mean, you know, there you go. So,
right.
You know, it's just because somebody may get a fact wrong doesn't mean they're a pathological liar.
And Randy, don't you agree with me that part of the reason he was elected was because he's not just reading off a script? People think of him as, I'm using air quotes here, as real. because he makes mistakes, like we all make mistakes?
Yeah, I think he talks to everybody, whether it's he talks to them like people talk on the street, like I talk to you. You know, I may make a mistake, but it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm sniping at somebody or that, you know, I'm a liar, you know. So.
Carl Bernstein was on TV last night. In fact, he's been on a couple of times the past couple of days being interviewed. And for those of you who don't know Carl Bernstein, he was one of the guys from the Washington Post that uncovered Watergate. So not exactly a right winger. He's not. But he still comments on things like that. And he said, and this I thought this was very odd, he said that he thinks that even just the first month of the Trump administration has been worse than Nixon. And somebody said, are you serious? What about this, 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 and this? And he says, I don't mean worse than what people intended to do in the Nixon administration. He says, I mean that Nixon said a lot of really stupid things and a lot of, you know, things that made no sense and stuff like that. But he said them in meetings that weren't on television and weren't, you know, over the internet, which didn't exist. And that Trump, whenever he says something, whether he has done the diligence or the due diligence on it to find out whether it's true or not, it, you know, everybody's going to find out. So the problem is when he does make a mistake, it's you know, so obvious.
Yeah, it's personalized. They don't like his personality. They don't like his demeanor, and so they're gonna say, look at the liar again. And I think that's, you know, that's terrible because you can dislike somebody's policy or what they're promoting,
right?
But, you know, but when you're rude enough to call somebody a liar. That's pretty low.
Yeah. Well, and Bernstein also.
Thanks for the call,
Andy. Thanks very much for the call. Bernstein also said he thinks the main problem with Trump is that he's a little bit on the lazy side. And what he meant by that is that, you know, when a subject comes up, rather than go and spend some time reading and or even, you know, listening to advisors and getting all the information and then going out and make a speech, he kind of tends to bring it up off the cuff. And then later, you know, find out whether what he said was correct or not.
Dave, you got 60 seconds. You're on with David and Chris, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, quickly.
Real fast. Like the last caller, I'd like to kind of cap onto what he said. But on top of that is marginalizing, and I'll have to say this towards the left, is every time they call somebody a liar, a racist, a pathological liar, especially whether it's Trump or his followers or supporters. And as we all know, most of that's not true because it's all ideological. A stance on that side, they marginalize their argument, and they're going to continue doing that to their own demise. And it's something that I wish they would listen and think about, but they're not. But
yeah. All right, Dave, thanks for getting it in, brother. We appreciate you calling. Thanks. Have a great day.
Well, yeah, and like we say, I mean, if somebody says, you know, abortion shouldn't be able to happen, or somebody says immigrants, you know, shouldn't be able to get into this country illegally, stuff like that, and somebody says you're a liar, well, no, you're not a liar. It's just your opinion.
Not allowed to have those, Chris. 9:56, news coming up at the top of the hour, then Rick, then Rush Limbaugh after that. Paul Jay will be back tomorrow. You're listening to 670 KBOI.